emotionally abusive relationship. No, that's terrible. I'm constantly being criticized and put down. They never take ownership or apologize for their behavior. And anytime I tell them how their behavior impacts me, they just gaslight me. Who's doing this to you? That's awful. We have to support you. It's my mother. Oh no, well that's different. You only have one mother.
Just a bit of dark humor and just one example of how people are using the video platform TikTok to destigmatize issues around mental health. I'm Ahmed Chabeddin, and in today's episode of The Stream, we're asking why more and more people are turning to TikTok for therapy and mental health information. What are the benefits and the downsides of our emotional health going viral online? Remember, you can be a part of this discussion. Just jump into our live YouTube chat and join the stream. Joining us for this discussion in Texas, Dr. Han Ren, a clinical and school psychologist who uses TikTok to promote mental health awareness. In Washington, D.C., Dr. Ashwin Sood, he is an adult and child psychiatrist who's also on TikTok. And in New York City, Stephanie Miotis, a doctoral candidate in psychology at Temple University. I want to start with you, Dr. Han. You know, like Katie, who we saw in that video, so many people are online having these conversations about mental health. That includes licensed health professionals like yourself, but also a lot of unlicensed people just talking about their own experiences. Why are you on TikTok, and what do you make of this phenomenon?
Yeah, I joined TikTok in fall of 2020 as a way to bring some diversity of perspectives to the mental health content that I was seeing. It was very focused on the, you know, Eurocentric traditional ways of psychology and healing, and not much representation of people of global majority and more liberation-oriented ways of healing.
And Dr. Ashwin, when you hear that answer, I mean, is that why you're using the platform? And what concerns you the most?
That's great. First, it's such a pleasure to be in the room with these two individuals and with you, Ahmed, just to hear these ideas. I think the biggest concern in what drove our Mind Media Psych TikTok, or why we came on TikTok, was the lack of medical expertise that was being provided on TikTok and the amount of influence that it was having over our patients who would watch a lot of influencers and other people who weren't credentialed in the space. And some of the advice, though nonspecific, was a little bit jarring. So as physicians, we felt like it was our obligation or responsibility to come onto social media and to just try to provide nuanced information.
And hopefully this conversation will also be nuanced to bring in some of the data behind all of this. I want to ask you, Stephanie, I mean, what does the data teach us about this sort of phenomenon? I understand that you found that the majority of mental health content on TikTok is actually lived experiences. Why is that relevant?
Yes. So I did find that the majority is people's personal experiences. And that's really relevant because it looks like people are turning to TikTok to find community, to share their perspectives with mental illness. And that is such an important thing that we're finding. And at the same time, I found that less than 3% of the top trending content was actually coming from mental health professionals. And that's also really important because then if people are turning to TikTok, especially teens and young adults, what they're really seeing then is not people who are mental health professionals. And if this is their first experience or mental health exposure, then that really has an effect. So it's important to know that people want this sense of community, the sense of connection, which is really great. And then the flip side of that is we also need more mental health professionals.
And I want to talk about both of those things. I see that they're both not nodding, the two mental health professionals we have with us. I want to ask you, Dr. Ashwin, you know, there are positives, right? Destigmatizing the conversation about mental health. We all want to just belong to some community, find our sense of identity, particularly younger generations. What is the fine line? What concerns you most? Are people self-diagnosing too much?
Yeah, you know, this is a double-edged sword. So when we think about mental health, the first thing we have to think about is there's a disparity, particularly people of color, particular people of lower socioeconomic strata, you know, different countries, for example. We're talking about the United States here, but we're also got to think about all these different countries who might not even have access to a psychiatrist, for example. So searching connection and getting connection is incredibly important. And when you don't have access to healthcare, and then you find an application that provides you all of these nonspecific symptoms that you can relate to, that's important. And we can't devalue that. But the fine line you're talking about, right, is really important, because once we find an identity or a diagnosis, and then we claim that identity or diagnosis without actual proper mental health expertise, it can really take us down a dark rabbit hole mm-hmm. where we can all of a sudden identify with an illness when we don't have it. Mm-hmm. And that creates a whole slew of problems, particularly for the mental health professionals in the field, because mm-hmm. then all of a sudden they're biased in their own responses. And it can also lead to different treatments, which might not be the most appropriate treatment. Mm-hmm. And so I could spend hours talking about
that. No, and I wish we had hours, but I see that Dr. Han is also nodding, so I'm assuming agreeing with you there. Before we broaden the conversation to those points, I want to share with you what people are saying in our YouTube chat. We have G-Girl saying, I have a question for the panel. Can you give us examples of TikTok's influence creeping into the doctor's office? Dr. Han?
Yeah, so many times people will come in and say, hey, I think I have this disorder that I saw on TikTok, and these are the symptoms, and this is what I have diagnosed myself with. And unfortunately, there's so many overlapping symptoms that have various roots. And so just based on what is most salient on the platform does not necessarily apply to a person's individual lived experience. And, you know, so I don't want to discourage them from seeking out information that helps them understand themselves better, but I encourage them to slow down, take a look at all the different possibilities and explore and have a conversation around it.
No, most certainly. And I think that I can certainly say that I've been guilty of that. So in full disclosure here. I think that's why we're having this conversation. On YouTube, Christopher Abbott saying they exploit our short attention spans and now want to fix it. I believe referring to these social media companies as maybe being part of the problem. Also, it's a fine line. We'll get to that in a moment. I do want to share with you all a video comment that was sent to us from Bisma Parvez, a content creator in Houston, Texas, who says watching mental health content on TikTok actually encouraged her to seek help. Take a listen.
I'm in therapy myself after seeing all the mental health content on TikTok and realizing having a therapist is extremely important. And so I love that it has been normalized. Secondly, another pro is that it creates access. And the way I realized this is recently I had posted a video about something I had learned from my therapist about people pleasing. And so I just kind of shared it. And people commented something which I didn't realize, and they said, as someone who can't afford therapy, I really appreciate you sharing what you learned from your therapist. And I never thought about that, you know, because there are people who just don't have access to that type of healthcare. And if you can get it on TikTok and learn some things about yourself or about coping mechanisms, about how to better your lifestyle, I think that's amazing.
So I'm curious, Dr. Ashvin, when you hear her making that point, I mean, it's encouraging in one regard, but I'm wondering how the algorithms might be at play that can make that a very sort of risky situation to find yourself in.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic question. I think we live in a polarizing world, mm-hmm. and this happens in politics, this happens in sports. The idea is that the algorithm plays to what we want to see. And when that occurs, when you're often bombarded by, say, a clip about ADHD or depression, and then you start spending more time on it, all of a sudden you start being fed that. And again, I'm all about awareness, and I'm all about self-teaching and getting that education. But the algorithm is not there to fine-tune what you might be feeling or seeing. It's showing how much time you spend on a video. Mm-hmm. And if you start spending more time on something, all of a sudden, you will not see bipolar disorder, you will not see depression, you will not see PTSD, you will not see OCD, mm-hmm. you will see ADHD, for mm-hmm. example. And that can lead to a bias.
Yeah.
So again, I totally agree with awareness, and I totally understand gatekeeping mm-hmm. and how frustrating it can be to the lack of access. But again, you jump off that ledge pretty quickly mm-hmm. when all of a sudden you get bombarded by one diagnosis.
Most certainly. And just so you know, Stephanie, as we're having this conversation here in YouTube, there's a separate conversation, or a similar conversation, I should say, storyboard writing saying, I think the issue is that people use TikTok and these social platforms as a way to compensate for the lack of healthcare and physicians, as well as access, which we discussed. So it seems to me, Stephanie, like if people use TikTok once they went to see a mental health professional and got a diagnosis, that might be more safe or more constructive. What else does your research reveal?
Yes, 100%. So I think to give context, my research was looking specifically at the content mm-hmm. and revealing through that is exactly what everyone's saying. And I think this things are very polarizing, and that's what kind of led me to this. People would either think TikTok was great, the content on TikTok was horrible. And what it's really showing is it's more nuanced. It is people's personal experiences, and how that's used is what matters. Mm-hmm. So if people use it as just exposure, and then they have access to a mental health professional after, and then can use that for community to express themselves, mm-hmm. that really is wonderful. It's mm-hmm. when it comes to self-diagnosis, and you'll see maybe a video of like a point of view video on TikTok, right, of ADHD showing one symptom. And then if you have people that experience that same one thing, like they feel distracted that day, and then they suddenly think they have ADHD.
Right.
That's when it becomes way more problematic.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was younger, I was diagnosed with ADHD. I never was medicated for it. But as an adult, since I've started consuming some of this content invariably, I have to tell you, there are moments where I'm not only convinced, but immediately Googling in the middle of the night how I can see a doctor as fast as possible just to go convince them that I'm convinced that I have ADHD. So with that in mind, Dr. Han, I want to ask you, what do you think it is about TikTok that makes people feel so comfortable sharing or perhaps oversharing? I mean, a lot of crying videos out there.
Yeah. So the algorithm really thrives on outrage. And so the more comments you get, the more polarizing the content is, the more engagement and the more it will be surfaced to people. And so that is kind of a recipe for the most extreme types of behaviors to get surfaced on the platform. And people find resonance in what they see mm-hmm. and not necessarily, you know, applying it to the nuances of their lives.
Right. And I'm so glad you brought up nuances, because we have a video that was sent to us by Nahla, a psychiatry resident and content creator in Canada, who says it's hard to create nuanced information, right? Especially in short form on TikTok. Take a listen.
I like to make sure that I take into consideration intersectionality and a holistic lens whenever I create content online. I also try to avoid black and white statements and remain in that gray zone. Unfortunately, it's hard to do that on social media because it promotes shorter content and content that is more extreme. But I feel like regardless of the platform we're on, we have a duty as physicians, and I have a duty as a mental health professional to not create content that is harmful.
I love when I see all three nodding across the board. It makes me feel as if there was a salient point just made. Stephanie, why were you nodding?
Yes, I was 100% nodding because, again, when I went into this, I was looking for that, like wondering what's the nuance here. And it really was. So many people say it's inaccurate content, and that's not exactly what I was finding. I was, again, finding people's experiences that weren't exactly inaccurate, but they're not a complete picture. They're one little statement, one symptom mm-hmm. really. And when you're seeing that, that's not nuanced enough at all. Mm-hmm. In that's what TikTok lends to. And mm-hmm. I think it's really great when you have mental health professionals who can keep that in mind, like they're both doing here, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you can really have that more nuanced conversation and people really thinking about that, because that's so important.
Right. And I do want to share with you on YouTube, Arsenal KD saying the Goldwater rule states that psychiatrists should not speculate about the mental state of public figures. How do they reconcile this with what they feel is incorrect information from influence? I mean, a lot of different people really participating consciously or not in this phenomenon. And I just wonder what can be done to sort of regulate mental health content online? Is that feasible, Dr. Ashvin, in your opinion?
Yeah, so I know that let's talk about the Goldwater Rule for a second. Mm-hmm. The Goldwater Rule was a rule that was created because there was a political issue with a psychiatrist commenting on a political candidate at the time. Mm-hmm. And so in this situation on TikTok, we try to, as physicians, don't try to talk about individuals, particularly about a diagnosis. We make it more generalizable. Like if somebody has bipolar disorder, we're going to talk about the condition. We're not going to talk about the person, right? Because as a patient, there's a patient-physician relationship, and you can't disclose that on a public forum, even if you don't have a relationship with that patient. It's just not as ethical, right? What can social media applications do? Couple things. YouTube right now is taking steps to show that if you're a credentialed professional, mm-hmm. you need to be verified, and that will offer you a certain check mark or something like that that will show that this is a credentialed person, right? Mm-hmm. So applications are trying to do that as fast as possible to show that, like, we are sponsoring, right? Stephanie was saying 3% of mental health professionals are trending, right?
Yeah.
There are more mental health professionals on the application.
So just to clarify for people, when we say 3% are in the trending content, the content that the majority of people see, that means 97% of the content is not coming from that community, from people who are licensed or professionals, correct? Yeah, I'm not that great at math, but I think it's important to flip it in that way so that people can understand the weight of what that can do. Sorry. Anything to add, Dr. Han?
Yeah, and I think what's challenging is even when I do create nuanced content as a licensed professional, the nuance is not what's going to go trending. That's not what's going to be picked up by the algorithm. So people like hot takes on TikTok, and that makes it even for us licensed professionals who want to create more accurate content, that makes it really difficult.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And, you know, I have to tell you, a lot of people in our YouTube chat saying they've lost trust in anything related to social media, but we have a comment from Arsenal Kid responding saying, does Dr. Ashvin want check marks like Twitter? We saw what happened with that, like this idea of verified content. Might that be one solution here?
So Twitter was what, $8 blue? I wasn't on top of that. But in the credentialing, right?
Yeah.
You would have to show board certification, right? If you're a physician, mm-hmm. I'll just talk about physicians, for example, mm-hmm. showing that you have a board certification in psychiatry, that you graduated from a residency, that you graduated from a fellowship, right? That you might have an in-person or a virtual interview with somebody, verifying those things. Mm-hmm. Credentialing and highlighting those credentials are super important for a verification process, right? And that could go for a PsyD or a psychologist or a clinical social worker. So the Twitter aspect is that, you know, you need to be verified, but what does that look like?
Right.
There's a lot of steps to do that.
Right. And, you know, Surya Ghosh, I should say, Dr. Han, is saying in the YouTube chat, social media has made the whole mental health issue as something cool. People without any real information want to have a disorder. It's almost as if it becomes part of their personality without a real diagnosis. And now the nods are just full, and it's like a concerto of nods. But this is really what I relate to when I watch this content. And I sort of feel like, oh, well, there's a community I can belong to. Like if you maybe are doubting your purpose or your where your position is in life. I mean, how real is this in terms of people who you meet through your profession, Dr. Han?
I think a lot of it also speaks to the polarization of our society, where so much of our identity is wrapped up in oppression. And so people who may not have other, you know, identity intersectionalities that put them in that place of being oppressed may look for other ways that they can find uniqueness or, you know, belonging. And I remember in my generation, it was like people wanting to be emo or goth. And certainly that still exists, but this is just kind of a new flavor of, you know, looking for uniqueness.
Stephanie, what would you say is something that, based on your research, you would want to share with people who maybe do use TikTok for this reason, not people creating the content, but who just consume a whole bunch of mental health related content on the platform?
Yeah, I think to be careful definitely about self-diagnosis, but also if you truly do have a diagnosis, I think it's a wonderful way to form community at the same time and to express yourself. So I think it has a lot of value. Or if you're seeing these symptoms, right, go see a mental health professional. And because it does bring that awareness, and that's amazing, but it's not for self-diagnosis. It's then to take those next steps.
Yeah, and I can only – go ahead, Dr. Aspin, you were going to add?
Well, I just want to highlight, my background is child and adolescent psychiatry. So I see teenagers, right? We go into a pandemic where they're socially isolated. The number one thing that's most important for teens is connecting to peers, connecting to groups, right? We then get to a point where mental health floods TikTok. They're on TikTok. They see that people are identifying with diagnosis, and that makes them feel connected to other teens. So it's not necessarily, as Stephanie was saying, it's not a bad thing, right? You want to feel included. But I know there are a lot of parents who are probably watching this right now and being like, what's my teen doing? This is a part of their identity. So when the kids come into my office and they say, I have autism, or I have bipolar disorder, or I have ADHD, the last thing I want to do is invalidate. The last thing I want to do is roll my eyes, because that for them is a part of their identity. And if I invalidate that, then that's another adult who looks down on them.
And not to reference former President Trump in the U.S., who felt very free to give all kinds of advice, medical advice, maybe without being qualified to do so. I'm wondering, online, is that happening? I mean, people giving sort of advice unqualified. And does that worry you as much as some of these other issues, Dr. Aspin?
Yeah, you know, it's really, really dangerous. I often see, as I think Dr. Han and Stephanie were highlighting, the polarizing language about taking medications. When we're often on our TikTok lives at like in the evenings, I always say, if I talk about a medication on here, there are side effects. If I talk about an herbal supplement on here, there are side effects. If I even talk about therapy, there are side effects. Why? Because there's never a silver bullet to any of these diagnoses. Just like you would take an antibiotic, you could have a side effect of diarrhea, right? So the basic idea is that you want to be very nuanced in this. And there are people who, right, like we talk about predatory companies, right? They sell an idea to an influencer, takes on that brand, they're automatically biased. Whether it doesn't matter what the company is, they're biased in what they're giving.
Well, and I appreciate that disclaimer. We also have a disclaimer from a psychologist who goes by Dr. T on TikTok that I wanted to add to this conversation. Take a look.
If you're new to my page or you like viewing mental health content on this app, please stick around for some really important things that I think that you should know. You might find some videos on here where you feel really understood and really connected to what the person is saying. But please remember that while I love being a therapist, I'm not your therapist. The information that I provide here is meant for a general audience. So there might also be times where you see something and it just does not apply to you at all. Expect that to happen. This is not advice or therapy. It's meant to be educational, informational, and for entertainment purposes. So before you apply into your life anything that you get from my videos or the videos of another mental health creator, please remember that it was meant for a general audience and does not take into account your history, your personality, your relationships, and the current problems that you're dealing with. And that makes a difference. And that's why proper mental health care is so important.
Dr. Han, what comes to mind when you hear Dr. T there?
I have almost that exact video on my Instagram, like highlight stories, because I think it's so important to put that disclaimer out there again and again. Mm. And a lot of the licensed professionals that I follow and are in community with have that same disclaimer in their bio. Like, this is just tips, general education. It's not therapy, and it's not a replacement for therapy.
Well, certainly. Anything to add before we wrap this up, Dr. Aspin?
No, completely agree. Mental health is nuanced. It's unfortunate that a lot of people can't get to it, but also disclaimers are incredibly important.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, whenever you're watching my clip, I am a guy on TikTok. Just because I'm an expert doesn't mean I'm the perfect person for you.
Yeah, no, that's important. And anything, Stephanie?
Yeah, I just want to add one last thing to add on to everything that I definitely agree with. When my collaborator, Audra Jimenez, and I really did this work, I think something we saw at the end with that really low number, again, is like that opportunity for mental health professionals, I just want to encourage to get on TikTok, like you see here,
yeah.
as well as to maybe partner with influencers too. There's an opportunity for partnership, even if you don't want to be the one
from,
in the video.
From your words to their direct messages, I am game to partner with either of you two. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. That's all the time we have for this show. It's a conversation that will certainly continue here at The Stream. Thanks for watching, and see you next time.